Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to a very special edition of Franchise Interviews, where for over 5 years we've been asking the franchisepreneurs one-on-one. I'm your host, Marty McDermott, and I'm the president of Franchise Interviews, and we have a great show today. We're meeting with Keith Gerson, who is the president of global operations for FranConnect. We're also meeting with Nick McCauzy, who is the vice president of client services at FranConnect. And FranConnect is a leading provider of franchise management systems, as more than 450 brands use the company's comprehensive systems to establish, grow, and manage their franchise operations. That's coming right up on Franchise Interviews. So stick around because we've got a great show.
Are you one of those special people who are willing to go after your dreams and goals? Are you ready to fulfill that dream of owning your own business with the security of a proven brand, the opportunity to take control of your future, and own a Rita's Italian Ice franchise is within your reach?
Rita's is seeking success-oriented individuals who are ready to make a change in their life, and Rita's offers unparalleled training and support to assure your success. And did you know the frozen treat industry is a recession-proof industry, and there are Rita's in 23 states currently with 540 stores open. Rita's Italian Ice has been around for 25 years and is listed as a top-performing franchise by the Wall Street Journal.
Now here's the really good part. Rita's Italian Ice is a unique and amazing taste treat. It's smoother than a snow cone, and it combines ice with real fresh fruit. The real fruit adds dramatically to the taste, and it comes in over 40 flavors. The ice and fruit are mixed on site and made fresh daily, and it is delicious.
You'll want to know more about this exciting and successful franchise opportunity. Go to www.ownaritas.com and get all your questions answered. That's www.ownaritas.com to take control of your dreams and future today. You don't want to wait any longer to be a part of this adventure. www.ownaritas.com.
Franchisers, are you looking to reach aspiring entrepreneurs looking to buy a franchise? Are you looking to reach a highly educated audience on franchising? For over 4 years, Franchise Interviews has been giving an up-close, behind-the-scenes look at franchising and entrepreneurship through our website, franchiseinterviews.com, where you can hear and read interviews as well as get inside tips from some of the most successful sources in franchising. Check out our weekly franchise radio show, where each week you get to hear a new interview with franchisers, franchisees, franchise authors, franchise experts, and attorneys, and our podcast, Great Quotes in Franchising. Get 3 months of free advertising when you sign up for our one-year package. For more information, go to franchiseinterviews.com or call us at 610-905-2919. That's 610-905-2919.
Hi, everyone, and welcome back to Franchise Interviews, where for over 5 years we've been asking the franchisepreneurs one-on-one. I'm your host, Marty McDermott, and I'm the president of Franchise Interviews. And as we were saying earlier, we have a great show today. We're meeting with Keith Gerson, who is the president of global operations for FranConnect, and also Nick McCauzy, who is the vice president of client services at FranConnect. And FranConnect is a leading provider of franchise management systems, as more than 450 brands use the company's comprehensive systems to establish, grow, and manage their franchise operations. Hey, Keith. Hey, Nick. How you guys doing today? Welcome to the show.
Hey, good morning, Marty. Thanks for having us.
Oh, it's my pleasure, guys. We would like to ask our guests, where are you calling from this morning?
Just outside of Washington, D.C. in beautiful Reston, Virginia.
Oh, great. Good. How's the weather down there today, Keith?
It's looking good right now, but for people that like spas, I think they'll be quite comfortable this afternoon.
That's good. That's good. And yeah, welcome to both of you guys. You know, both of you have an interesting background. I thought I would start with you, Keith. And, you know, I know you've been involved in franchising. You've worked with a number of different franchises. Maybe you could talk a little bit about, you know, your background and how you ended up at FranConnect.
Well, thank you. Yes, I've spent, I feel so old saying this. I've spent my entire adult life, 38 years now, in franchising, primarily as a franchisor and also as a franchisee. The first 18 years of my life was spent with some of the best-known quick-serve or fast-food franchise chains, and then I went ahead and moved over for the next 20 years to service brands.
Wow.
So it's and so now I find myself here at FranConnect, and it's definitely a different environment for me. I'm not walking with quite as much swagger, because everybody assumes that once you get the title, all of a sudden you become a expert at technology.
Right.
That's why Nick's here.
How about yourself, Nick? I know you have a background as well in franchising, and you've done some interesting things in your life. How did you end up at FranConnect?
As Keith mentioned, I started out on the technical side, so I started with IBM on the technical side of things, then moved over to sales and marketing early in the career, and then I left the Blue Army to pursue startups in Silicon Valley, mostly technology startups, and also strategic marketing as well.
Wow, that's fantastic. So, you know, Keith, maybe you can go back to, you know, I mean, what's the difference now in working with a supplier? You know, I mean, again, you've been involved from the franchisor standpoint, the franchisee standpoint. What are some of the differences in working with a supplier now?
Well, it's been pretty advantageous in many ways. I was already a client of FranConnect's. Mm-hmm. And one of the main reasons I made the decision to come over here was on the basis that they were so helpful in my defining my systems and processes. And anybody who's ever run into me at franchise learning events and symposiums know that I really love coaching and mentoring and teaching. And so for me, the biggest change right now is the opportunity, rather than, you know, sharing my my insights and collaborating with franchisors and franchisees, I'm able to do it on a much larger stage, with 450 clients and now being called upon more to talk about the role of providing these technologies and solutions. But I've got to admit, the biggest challenge for me is that we have a very robust group of solutions that kind of span the entire life cycle of the franchise relationship, a number of them that have been really quite educational for me, that as experienced as I was, I frankly didn't know that they existed.
That's fantastic. You know, the show is real timely, Keith and Nick. I was just talking last night. I teach marketing for Kaplan University, and we were talking about, like, the small businesses. We were talking, like, Sal's Pizzeria and Tom's Cleaners and how difficult it must be for, like, the small business to market. I know you guys, I think it was, you did the survey, you found that 62% of small business owners are struggling to keep up their local marketing campaigns. And, I mean, your service, I think, is really fantastic. You know, as I was reading about you guys, I mean, it sounds like, I mean, you're able to put marketing on an autopilot. Maybe you can talk a little bit about, you know, all the different services that you guys provide, because you provide a lot of different things.
Well, I'll start, and Nick will add further to this.
Okay.
As I mentioned, we cover the entire spectrum of the franchise relationship. Literally, the if you will, cradle to grave, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
So the spectrum of our primary solutions start with everything from the franchise sales management and utilization of integrated electronic brochures to get engagement. We move them into store opening management. We help with compliance with franchise information management applications, POS integration, CRMs. It's literally the definition of each organization's processes and the ability to put them in a defined system for them to be able to replicate across their franchise system. Nick, what would you add?
I would add to that, Keith, that as well, to get across the whole spectrum of the franchise lifecycle, A couple of the ways we've architected this system that are very important come into play as well. Again, Keith mentioned we go all the way from sales through operations, and the reason is so that you can. We also are a modular platform, so you can buy what you need when you need it, but you can grow into those other areas as you grow the system. So to think that small companies don't need these kind of systems is we would like them to start out wherever they can start out. But we're a software as a service delivery system as well, so we alleviate all the infrastructure on the franchisor side and the franchisee side. We host everything. And a lot of our clients consolidate systems around FranConnect so that they have one system to go to, if you will, and that creates a lot of efficiencies.
Mm. You mentioned the clients, Nick. I mean, who is your ideal franchisor and client? I mean, I think we're up to like about 2,500 systems out there and like 750,000 franchisees. So who would you say is your ideal franchisor or client?
Well, I would say for starters that most franchisors don't necessarily begin with the end in mind. And
right.
So they start by creating systems and programs and inadvertently create silos. So one of the more optimum fits for us is when the franchisor really gets to the point. It's a bit of a tipping point that they're finding it very difficult to consolidate the data to effectively apply solutions across the system because the systems just don't speak with one another.
Mm-hmm.
There's no way to be able to aggregate the data. So on one hand, you have an optimum client who's somebody who's just gotten to the point that they realize that they're not going to get any bigger, and they're certainly not going to get any better without creating that notion of one voice, one way of doing things, and having basically one system across the platform. On the other hand, having worked for emerging brands, there are plenty of franchisors that are coming into the space that are not wanting to reinvent the wheel. They don't want to, you know, pay the millions that so many have had to learn the hard way, and they want to get it right from the get-go. And so because, as Nick mentioned, we're modular in nature, we've got the ability to help start to onboard somebody with specific needs, but it's a system you can't outgrow. So as long as somebody is committed to really excellence and improving their systems, they're an ideal client for us.
Gotcha. So it doesn't really matter about the industry, I guess you would say, Keith. I mean, I guess we're up to like probably about like 80 different industries are franchising at this point. Is there a particular industry that you target, or again, like you said, it's pretty much open?
It's really open. I was hoping to have gotten a count on how many different industries that we represent. I would
right.
say that my best guesstimate is, though, that there's probably anywhere from 80 to 84 different represented industries. I would say that heretofore we've got in excess of 50, and we kind of break them into to quadrants from retail organizations to service organizations, and we have yet to find one that really hasn't been able to benefit from the solutions.
Wow. So, I mean, you've been doing this, you know, such a long time, Keith and Nick. Why do you think so many small businesses struggle with their local marketing? And maybe you could talk about how, like, a Zcubator can solve this problem.
Well. First of all, I want to start. We just had an interesting survey culminate last week through a polling of clients and non-clients. And so
mm-hmm.
I think that the first point of beginning is recognizing that this, you know, the execution of marketing programs is probably one of the single business challenges that we're experiencing. I'll start. I know with the IFA put out an Economic Business Outlook report update recently,
mm-hmm.
and though you know, everybody is optimistic about the fact that things are turning around and they were seeing more improvements. The fact is that gains are still low to moderate.
Yeah.
And I thought it was really interesting picking up on the fact that franchisees were significantly less optimistic than their franchisors about the prospects for their improved consumer sales in 2012 and beyond. So I think that the survey information that we collected was pretty powerful. When we asked what has the most impact on a franchisee's growth, 67% of our respondents indicated executing of marketing, sales, and activities.
Wow.
When we asked them why they believed that franchisees were failing to effectively market,
right.
41% indicated that they really didn't believe that campaigns yield results.
Wow. Wow.
The 26%, in addition to that, thought that the programs were too overwhelming and complex. So finally, I'll give you one more data point out of this the survey, was that if, in fact, we buy into the notion that the success of a system is directly dependent on the franchisee's ability to market and sell, we also have to look at the reality that 47% of respondents indicated that their franchisees are spending less than 10% of their time in effectively marketing and business generation. 7% didn't know, and 37% would put it in the 10 to 24% range. So knowing that franchisees and people in general don't do self-destructive things on purpose,
right.
We set out to identify over the last year what the biggest challenge is. And I think that it is very Michael Gerber e-myth-ish, if you will, in the sense that we've identified that most franchisees are they're operators and not marketers.
Wow.
And that yeah. Most franchisees do not have the professional training or the ability to market the brand and attract new customers. And I would further add, I think that that's being exasperated by the fact that there is exponentially more traditional and digital marketing channels that a franchisee has to manage in the last few years. And it's, you know, they're just basically telling us that it's too complex. It's just too much.
It's interesting that you say that, Keith. You know, I mean, we've done some shows, you know, talking about things like, you know, social media and things like that. And it seems like it must be very overwhelming. I imagine that Zcubator, you know, assists franchisees with things like social media. I know also you guys get into assisting with customer feedback and ad building and things like that. Maybe, you know, you or Nick can kind of expand a little bit with that as well, because I know that's a big challenge as well today.
Well, certainly. Let me just preface really quick by saying that there are many tools out there that are great and outstanding on their own merits.
Right.
But the challenge is that we as franchisors and we as marketers want to help our franchisees, and we don't realize that by giving them all of these disparate solutions that we're actually achieving one goal at the preclusion of another. And so the notion right now that we have is that anything that's surrounded by unpleasantness and difficulty is not going to be surrounded by people. You know, franchisees find it very difficult to log on to platform after platform after platform. Each is inherently different in their own rights. Running the software is like running the cockpit of a 747.
Oh.
And then the biggest issue is that these solutions, again, may be great, but they're disconnected and they're siloed. And they don't have the ability to basically aggregate the information to be able to inform so that somebody can do a better job of making decisions of what to feed in terms of what's working and what to starve in terms of what's not. So we've basically created a singular platform that allows these various marketing solutions to be united across the common platform, where your prospects and your leads are flowing directly into a CRM, and where you now have the ability to be able to do targeted smart marketing, where you now have the ability to run ROI and analytics just from a central platform, and it just ties all of these disparate solutions into one place with just one login. Nick?
That's interesting. Go ahead, Nick.
Yeah, to add on to that, I would say that we have a couple design points in the Z-Cubator philosophy that we try to stay with. Seeing the problem that Keith was just talking about, we're trying to address that through a couple different ways. One thing we want to make sure we enable is for the franchisor to maintain brand consistency and brand identity mm-hmm. throughout the distribution of materials and marketing channels to franchisees. So throughout all the channels, we've given opportunities like in the ad builder, for example, to create modifiable either coupons or direct mail pieces that can be modified locally to give that
right.
local marketing emphasis, but maintain brand consistency. Same kind of idea with franchisee websites or local websites. Have the a way for franchisors to really dictate the design and the general branding, but have localization possible on those websites by franchisees. That also works for Facebook, for example, with our Facebook manager. You can manage with the parent-child relationship that Facebook has given us now in the franchise arena. That's well and fine, but we really don't have reporting around that with just that relationship and just that capability. So we in Z-Cubator, we've really given a high-level visibility to the kinds of metrics that you need when you're managing Facebook sites, but, again, also gives you the branding of the Facebook pages. One other item to mention is that there's this play between, obviously, corporate or franchisors and franchisees. And we find that some of the bigger franchisee systems certainly know about marketing and do a great job of marketing, but that may be only 20% of your system,
right.
And we're concerned about helping the other 60-80% as well that maybe don't do a great job of marketing or just overwhelmed and don't do it at all. So we're enabling franchisors to be able to reach out and help down to the level that they need to, but also allow localization.
Yeah, I like how you used the word overwhelmed, too, Nick. I was doing an interview for it's another radio show I do for Kaplan University. It's called The Collegiate Entrepreneurs, and we were interviewing. It was like a day spa kind of thing, and she said the same thing. Some of the students were asking about Facebook and how you use Facebook, and she said, you know, she just doesn't have time to do it. She said it was just overwhelming for her, you know. So, you know, I appreciate that you said that. I think you might have hit on some of them, but maybe if you could talk a little bit about, like, the nine applications included in Z-Cubator, if you want to address that.
Well, yes, and I would say, actually, that there's a tenth, and then there's some subcomponents that are critical. In terms of the suite of services, I would mention that pay-per-click and AdWords is
right.
Something that is a critical and complex realm, and the notion of what we're doing right here is trying to autopilot as many of these functions and features as we can to make it really easier for franchisees to not have to master these, but yet get the results and the accountabilities, and to be able to utilize them in a CRM. I think that I'll talk specifically also about the tools that now allow you to be able to do targeted direct mail, in which you now have the ability to track not only who your customers and what that transactional history is,
right.
But, you know, we spend so much time on social media, but oftentimes it's a rarity in which somebody can actually come back and track it to ROI.
Right.
And
So
the whole notion of the some of the more powerful aspects in my mind is to be able to do a trigger-based marketing to give the franchisees, just with the ease of execution, a 3 or 4 step process to be able to execute print campaigns and to print email campaigns without having to take CSV files to upload them to outside services, et cetera.
Wow. So what would you say the goals are, I guess, for you guys, Keith, if you could look at a crystal ball, several years down the road, where do you see yourselves?
Well, again, and maybe this is just a personal passion and bias
mm-hmm.
on my part, but I think that this is really, again, an execution crisis of sorts that we're seeing across franchising, and we are committed to not only enhancing our abilities through the technologies to help those that are reliant and dependent upon local store marketing. We also see ourselves evolving our skills as a consultant services provider and helping, because, again, I'm looking at these statistics that are showing us that very few franchise systems actually have really defined what their marketing process is, and franchisees have yet to really sit down with their franchise field consultants or business development consultants and define exactly what they are willing and able to do in terms of executing the system. So I see that in the next 3 years, this will probably become the single largest focus of our growth initiatives, and we're quite convinced that this is going to represent or increase our effectiveness by another 50% over we are today.
Yeah, I agree. What, were you surprised when you saw those statistics, Keith? I mean, those are pretty powerful numbers. You know, when you see that, you say, oh, my God,
yeah.
You know. I mean, were you surprised about that? I mean, because you've been on both sides, you know, the franchisor, franchisee side.
Marty, I would have to say that I was not. When I go back and I look at my own marketing career, I felt pretty darn good about my skills as a brander and a marketer. I actually
right.
had the opportunity to, you know, rebrand and drive the efforts of three major franchise systems. I've received this is not self-serving. I'm going to take this in a very humble place here in a moment, mm-hmm. but I've won Addy Awards for creativity and for effective market campaigning, but the fact is knowing the entire history of bowling and having all of the greatest tools didn't necessarily help me knock the pins down, and so I've been thwarted for many years with the issue of where and how to get more franchising engagement around marketing. And it wasn't really until I saw where and how the role of these technologies could really help. And I really thought and believed that a time would and could come that this information could be aggregated and pushed up to the franchisor level so you could do a better job as a franchisor in kind of augmenting and filling in the gaps, as well as doing a better job in fulfilling a better return on marketing spends. You know, that IBM survey of chief marketing officers had these folks coming back, and these are professional marketers telling us that they believe that 80% of marketing funds and expenditures are being spent ineffectively.
Wow.
And,
that's pretty, and pretty high.
Oh, it is, and you and I can think back even just 10 years ago that, you know, execution of franchising programs in many ways had to do with, yellow page advertisements and creating
right.
of websites and sending out advo, and it's just gotten more and more complex. And so I've known for some time it was a challenge. Now, Marty, I think it's really going to get close to, just one of the biggest and most important areas for a franchisor to focus on. That same Ad Age report out of the survey said that 78% of chief marketing officers are expecting more complexity over the next 3 to 5 years, and 48% of them said that they were prepared. So you've got the greater majority already identifying as marketers, with that being their full-time endeavor, they're challenged. So,
wow, fantastic! And that's where you guys come in, of course, and you fill that need or that niche, you know. And I agree with everything that you said, Keith. You know, I think it's getting more complicated. And I think, you know, sometimes a small business thinks that marketing is easy, to find out that it's very complicated, and it's getting more complicated every day, isn't it?
It sure is.
That's
definitely
fantastic. Well, I'm so glad that we finally got to have you guys on the show. I've been familiar with your company for a while now, and I've been watching you. So I would love to already invite you back for next year, both you gentlemen, Keith and Nick, and you know, watch you guys as you continue to grow. I think you have a great service.
Looking forward to it, and thank you so much again for having us on the show.
It's my pleasure. Thanks, guys, and have a great day. We'll be right back with more franchise interviews.
Franchise Interviews. For over 4 years, Franchise Interviews has been giving an up-close, behind-the-scenes look at franchising and entrepreneurship through our website, franchiseinterviews.com, where you can hear and read interviews as well as get inside tips from some of the most successful sources in franchising. Check out our weekly franchise radio show, where each week you get to hear a new interview with franchisers, franchisees, franchise authors, franchise experts, and attorneys. And don't forget to listen to our podcast, Great Quotes in Franchising. For more information, go to franchiseinterviews.com or call us at 610-905-2919. That's 610-905-2919.
Need a business loan? Talk to Diamond Financial Services, the experts in franchise financing nationwide. Whether you're looking to start a franchise, acquire an existing franchise, or expand your territory through opening new locations, Diamond Financial stands by your side start to finish. From pre-qualification to packaging and presenting your application to securing a financial commitment and through the loan closing process, Diamond Financial is there. While you're waiting, thousands of others are making their financial dreams come true. Don't wait any longer. Pre-qualify now by completing a confidential, no-obligation financial analysis. Let's face it, traditional banks just aren't in the business of financing small business. At Diamond Financial, we specialize in securing franchise loans from $100,000 to $3 million and equipment leasing up to $150,000. Let us help you get started. Go to www.franchisefunding.net or call 877-508-2274. That's franchisefunding.net, 877-508-2274.
Hi everyone, this is Marty McDermott from Franchise Interviews, and welcome to another edition of Great Quotes in Franchising, where each podcast you get to hear a great quote in franchising. Today's podcast is being brought to you by Diamond Financial Services, and Diamond Financial is the nation's number one source for business loans with over 50 years of combined experience. Financing solutions can be applied to business acquisitions, franchise purchasing or startups, building and leasehold improvements or expansions, equipment purchases, debt restructuring, working capital, franchise fees, or buying out of partners. Today's great quote in franchising comes from Carol Mercurio of Matchpoint. And Carol had excellent advice to aspiring entrepreneurs looking to buy a franchise. And one of the things that they should consider is image. Listen to what Carol said. I thought it was brilliant.
I want to talk a little bit about status.
It's one of my favorites because, you know, a lot of the franchising concepts are not high status.
Right.
You know, if you look at some of these categories, and then there's others, you know, where you'll find there's more of an executive model. And that becomes an issue with people, depending on what their background and experience is, and what are you willing to give up to have a business on your own, and how important is status to you. And the way I break it down is, if you were at a neighbor's for dinner and somebody asked you what you did for a living, how important is your answer?
That's interesting.
And for some people, it's very important. And when you go through this process, a lot of people, it really comes down to what's more important, what's on your business card or what's on your deposit slip.
Right.
And, you know, for, I always use the example of, you know, well, actually, I would say the most common answer to things that people wouldn't do that are relative to status is, I wouldn't pick up garbage.
Right.
Which is, it's kind of an interesting answer, because if you look at that industry, of the trash industry or garbage industry, there isn't probably one person out there that doesn't have trash.
Exactly.
Or doesn't know somebody that has trust.
Right, absolutely.
So, you know, you have to think about what are you willing to do if the industry is probably one of the biggest and best industries that everybody needs. It's recession-resistant, internet-proof. That would be trash. And, of course, I always throw this little bit of humor into this equation here that my husband's in the trash business and has been for many, many years. And I live in New Jersey with an Italian last name, so I don't suppose.
There you go, stereotype.
You know, be very careful how you deal with me. But, of course, if they don't get that humor, it's not very funny. But what you really want to think about is, you know, how do you feel about negotiating deals with CEOs or presidents of companies? Or are you okay with dealing with, you know, the everyday consumer or dealing directly to the consumer? Or should it be business to business? Because there are different franchises that fit into those categories. Or even if you look at retail, so it may not be visible to the consumer, but there are retail businesses that will do business to business, deal with other business owners, as well as the consumer, which is a major plus because you have two ends of dealing with business rather than being limited to one. But you really have to determine, you know, what is it? If you want a high-status business, then that will put me in a direction that would be very different than a Dunkin' Donuts, for example.
Right.
Although some people would put some of these food concepts into high status. I'm not sure why, but I do believe that people's perception of food is a higher status.
That's interesting.
But there are certainly a lot of things you can do that go outside food that, you know, you can be a consultant in different areas that would be more executive-type models. Or with a lot of the franchises, if you're looking for an executive-type model, it may be in a traditional type of business, but you become the manager of that business as opposed to getting your hands dirty every day.
That's
so you can still develop that into more of an executive model.
Right, right.
And, you know, what kind of products or services do you want to offer your public? Because that may limit some of the things that you look at if you shy away from certain industries.
Interesting.
But it is something that you really want to think about, you know, how important is status? And, you know, I always use the household cleaning industry as an example of that as well. You know, it's a very big business today. You know, it's a business that's changed through the years because of dual-income families, that it almost becomes a necessity rather than a luxury. But a lot of people will be embarrassed to say that I clean toilets for a living.
Right, right.
And the perfect example in that industry, when you look at the business model, it's not about cleaning toilets at all because that's not what you do.
Right.
It's about sales, marketing, and management.
Exactly.
So, again, you're looking at what is the business model itself. So put the industry aside. Look at the model and how is that going to work in your community.
Such a good question, though, Carol. People, sometimes it's everything they're thinking about with investing in a business is when you tell people at a party, what do you do? I mean, that's a great question. People don't want to be embarrassed by saying what they do.
If you really think about it, you know, I would say, you know, the common denominator with people when you have a discussion is what do you do for a living? And when I tell people I'm self-employed, it doesn't matter what I do. I think they're impressed with the fact that I own my own business. So I think business ownership in itself brings a certain level of prestige because there's so many people out there that I think would want to own a business, but they don't have the courage to do it. So they admire somebody that does.
There's a pretty popular, fast-growing franchise that involves, it's pet waste removal.
Right.
I looked at myself when I saw it. I'm like, do I want to tell people that I do that for a living? And, you know, I thought about that when I saw that type of franchise that, you know, a lot of people are pet owners, and that's the type of service that's needed.
Right.
I guess it takes a special type of person to.
and they're making a lot of money doing it.
Exactly. Right.
If you could put the status issue aside.
Right.
You're absolutely right. And, you know, to kind of summarize what we've spoken about, you know, all these different characteristics are things that you really need to write down and think about and put on a piece of paper. And if you put it all down and you start figuring out your likes and your dislikes,
I thought that was great advice from Carol, taking status into consideration. We've never heard that out of 80 shows, so I thought that was fantastic advice. So, once again, I hope you enjoyed this edition of Great Quotes in Franchising by Franchise Interviews. And again, we'd love to hear your feedback, and we hope to see you again soon. Take care, everyone.